Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
So, you know, once again, this whole idea of focusing in, that's what Paul's doing here. This one thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Now, notice, Paul points to an experience they had called receiving the Spirit. And there's a lot of controversy and a lot of confusion about what it means to receive the Spirit. Now, the Bible tells us that there are three basic relationships that you and I have with the Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to understand this, because if you don't grasp this, boy, you can try to live the Christian life in your own power very, very easily. You know, in John chapter 14, Jesus tells us about these relationships that we have with the Holy Spirit. For instance, in John 14, beginning at verse 15, Jesus said this: "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Now, here we see the two basic relationships, first basic relationships we have with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, first, the Holy Spirit would be with you. The idea is he's around you. Well, this is the Holy Spirit's ministry in drawing us to salvation. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is not here primarily to give the church Holy Ghost goosebumps or to make our worship services that much more dynamic. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is here to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. You know, in other words, the first relationship we have with the Holy Spirit is when you hear the message of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to you and makes it understandable. If the Holy Spirit doesn't open your eyes to the message of Christ, the Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're foolishness to him. You might as well be trying to explain physics to a cow, right? Than to try to explain the gospel to someone, the Holy Spirit not opening their eyes to it. But the fact that you received that truth indicates that the Holy Spirit's ministry was with you. He was working, in a sense, from the outside in to bring you to salvation. Now, when you pray and invite Christ into your heart, second preposition here, he's with us, then he is in us. You know, there are some who say, oh, you believe God dwells in your heart. Well, you know, whether I believe it or not is beside the point. It's what the Scripture teaches. Christ in you is the hope of glory, according to the book of Colossians. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul goes so far as to say, if Jesus is not in you, you're not his. The Spirit of God takes up residency within our hearts. That's what causes us to be born again. Jesus promised later on in John chapter 14 that the Father and himself would abide in us, that is, dwell in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that second ministry of the Holy Spirit is what caused you to be born again, born anew, made a new creature in Christ. God takes up his residency within our hearts. So he's with us to lead us to salvation. Please follow along here, because this is absolutely crucial. He is in us the moment we receive salvation, but there's a third relationship with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So, with us to lead us to salvation, in us when we receive Christ, but upon you to empower you to live the Christian life. You know, that's a controversial point in some parts. Some people say, well, you know, the moment you receive Christ, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. And in a sense, they're right. You know, he didn't sort of halfway fill up your heart at that point. No, he comes into your heart. He indwells you. But God wants to have this coming upon experience happen to us so that we can live the Christian life, the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. You say, Scott, are you saying that there's another experience with the Holy Spirit beyond salvation? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because that's what the Scripture says. Again, these genuine, converted, born-again believers, the disciples, were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until they were clothed with power from on high. You know, in other words, receiving this empowering work of the Holy Spirit was so important. Jesus was saying, don't leave home without it. Don't try to do anything for me. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you and work through your life in such a way that it's going to blow your mind. You know, but you're saying there's another experience with the Holy Spirit after salvation. Yeah, that's what Scripture says. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we are told, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The tense in Greek is this idea that we are to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but, you know, again, at one point in my Christian life, I asked for that empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Some pastors that I really respected prayed for me and laid hands on me, and bam, you know, it was just an amazing experience with God. But I don't want to become a rearview mirror Christian with that either. Well, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit because they prayed for me and laid hands on me. Well, I think that's a great start. But I'll tell you what, before my feet hit the carpet in the morning, I've discovered something. If I try to live my Christian life for God, I'm not going to get very far. My flesh is going to take over, and if I'm successful, I'll be puffed up and proud, and if I'm a failure, I'm going to be condemned and defeated. But there's an alternative. Asking for that filling work, that overflowing work of the Holy Spirit every day. And that's the key thing. Notice what Paul says here. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, that's a biggie, isn't it? Because when we talk about the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, depending on the church tradition you come to, man, some of them do sell you on that works of the law thing. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, if you really want the power of the Spirit in your life, man, you got to fast for 30 days and ask for it. You want to have the power of the Holy Spirit, you got to come to our tarrying meeting. You know, doesn't that sound? Tarrying meeting, you know, where we're going to wait on the Lord until he does something. And man, we're just going to sit there and we're going to stand here and we're going to hold our breath until we turn blue. And then God's got to do something. And we're trying to get God to do something. No, that's not how you receive the Holy Spirit. It's not by reading 5 books. It's not by learning how to speak in tongues by saying banana, 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 and then God's going to make it a language. No, that's the work of the flesh. The work of the Holy Spirit is so much more powerful than that, so much more unlimited than that. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, Jesus talking about how you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Listen to what he says. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him? You want to have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon your life? Here's what you do. Ask. You know, I can't think of an issue in the Christian life where the old saying is true, you have not because you ask not, than that one. Now, I don't care if you had a great experience at some revival meeting way back when, and you know, they laid hands on you, and you spoke Hebrew or something like that. That's wonderful. But what's God done for you lately? Man, you got to ask daily for that empowering work of the Holy Spirit. You've got to receive that power and allow him to overflow your heart daily, because you can't live on yesterday's manna. And just because you hydrated yesterday very, very well isn't going to do you any good today, right? Physically, you got to take in water all the time. You got to take in that living water all the time and allow it to overflow your life. It's there for the asking. He goes, how did you guys receive this incredible, empowering work of the Holy Spirit? Was it by the works of the law? By the hearing of faith? Okay, God, you said you'd give it to me if I asked. I'm going to ask. And maybe many of you today, for the first time, are going to ask. For the first time, you're going to ask God to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you? Don't make that a one-shot deal in this church service. Make sure it's a lifestyle, because God will blow your mind if you just keep it that simple. Paul says, that's where he used to be, before you got all hyped up and sophisticated and proud and relying on your own works. In fact, he drives it home. Verse 3, are you so foolish? Yeah, come on, Paul. Don't soft pedal it. You know, quit being so seeker sensitive, Paul. Just say what you mean. Are you nuts, Paul is saying here? Are you so foolish? Why would Paul use that word? Now, it's interesting when we define foolishness from a biblical point of view. Psalm 14 says, the fool has said in his heart what? There is no God. Isn't it funny? Well, we might say there's a God up here, but I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of Christians who might think that up here, but they live their lives as if God never existed. We're not positional atheists, but sometimes we're practical atheists. Why do I say that? Well, let me ask you a challenging question. Can you point to, in this last week, one thing that happened in and through your life that was inexplicable apart from the work of God's Holy Spirit in your life? Or was it all you doing stuff for God, even if you were sincere? Man, it makes all the difference in the world when we start to allow the Lord's power to flow through our lives. But when we don't, it's foolishness. It's foolish because not only those who are in the flesh can't please God, you can do a lot of religious things. But like I say, if you're successful, it'll just make you puffed up and proud. If you're condemned and defeated because you don't live up to that standard, either way, you miss the mark. But if we ask for that power, empowering work of the Holy Spirit, if we live our lives just as if God doesn't do it, we're done. You know, there's an old saying in church circles. If the Holy Spirit left earth at midnight tonight, how long would it take your church to know the difference? Can I even personalize that a little bit more for you? If the Holy Spirit left earth at midnight tonight, how long would it take for you to experience a difference in what you call your walk with God? Man, I want to be on the edge. I want to live my life. I want this church to be one that if the Holy Spirit left earth at midnight tonight, we would collapse in a heap and a ruin by 12:01. And I want to live my Christian life that way. I don't want it to be some legalistic trip where I'm trying to earn or merit or deserve God's favor, where I'm cheapening the cross of Christ by thinking I'm bringing something to the party. I want a full-on, you know, with reckless abandon, jumping off the high dive, no turning back. I want to put my faith and my trust in what Jesus has done for me. Because anything else, it's religious foolishness. It's not going to get us where we need to go. Are you still so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? He goes on, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, notice what Paul points out here. You know, and again, it's a study in contrast. He goes, there was a time, guys, in your walk with God where you went through intense suffering. Notice what he says here over in verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? They'd suffered so many things, and yet they didn't get bummed out. Why? Because God was giving them the power to endure even fiery trials that were going on in their lives. They weren't bummed out in their walk with God. Notice verse 5 says, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it through the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Now, notice there was a time in their walk with God. And again, this was a contrast. He was going, man, there was a time where God's power was flowing. There was a time where you were experiencing a tremendous move of God. Miraculous things were happening in your life. Inexplicable things apart from the presence of God were going on in your life. You weren't burned out in your relationship with God. Oh, you run into people who are burned out Christians? Man, when I go to pastors' conferences, sometimes I run into burned out pastors. And they're just like, it's so exhausting. And people are like, oh, I just can't stand people anymore. I love ministry, but I hate people. Can I get a radio ministry like yours so I don't have to deal with them anymore? You know, that kind of thing. And it's so sad because even pastors make this subtle but deadly decision to say, hey, God, thanks so much for taking it this far, but now I went to this seminar and they told me if I do A, B, and C, I'm going to build this big church. And they build a big church, but guess what? If you strive to gain, you're going to strive to maintain, and it gets exhausting, man. And so these people are burned out. Why are they burned out? Because they're trying to do something God never called them to do. They're trying to bear a load that God never called them to bear. And boy, that happens to us, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we take things on and we think, okay, this is my burden to bear. And you know, suddenly following God becomes so heavy and such drudgery, and it's just so, you know, overwhelming to us. Understand something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you something really heavy to carry. Is that what he said? And he says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my burden, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Yeah, if what you call your yoke for God isn't easy, maybe it's not God's yoke. Maybe you've taken on another yoke. In such case, the yoke's on you. See? Don't fall into that trap. Man, how to know if you're right in that sweet spot where God is using you and God's called you and God's empowered you? You just find yourself, people come to me and say, oh, being a pastor, it's so hard. And you know, I go to these comments, oh, the ministry, it's such a burden. I go, are you nuts? Are you kidding? I feel like the kid who grew up to be a baseball player. Hey, don't tell anybody. It's just between you and me. But if I wasn't getting paid for this, I'd be doing this anyway. Because it's so much fun. Yeah, that's what serving the Lord's all about. And if what you define as service to the Lord is, oh, I got to do this for the Lord again. Could you imagine having a relationship with someone else that was like that for you? Well, okay, I got to make you breakfast, I guess. Okay, clanking the pots and pans. And here you go. I hope you appreciate that because it's such a burden on me. Get up 15 minutes early, make you breakfast. I go, man, sleep in. You don't make me breakfast. Yeah, you give me indigestion. And that's what we do with God. My God, I had to get up 15 minutes early to have a quiet time. I hope you appreciate that. Oh, well, thanks for spending time with, I guess. Man, you don't want a relationship like that. God doesn't want a relationship like that. You know, and that's what Paul's getting at here with these guys. He supplies miracles in the spirit of you. Does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Yeah, no, notice, Paul talks about them seeing miracles. The third thing you're going to discover, if you're really hitting on all cylinders, if you're living a spirit-filled and spirit-empowered life, is you're not only not going to be bummed out or burned out, you're never going to be bored. You're never going to be bored because God's always up to something. You know, it's like, wow, what are you going to do today, God? I can hardly wait. You'll say, well, that happened during a great revival. God wants to revive your heart. So that even if nobody else is getting in on what God's doing, you can get in on what God's doing. And guess what? If you get in on what God's doing and you start seeing the Lord moving in power in your life, praying like you mean it, praying like God hears it, praying like you're going to expect to see answers, man, you're going to see those answers. And other people are going to go, wow, how did you get that? Well, not me. I just trusted God, man. I just asked God to fill me with the Spirit this morning, and that was it. And he took it from there. Wow, do you think I could do that? Yeah, and it's going to be contagious. And that's how revival happens. Not by having meetings. Not by having hype. It's one heart at a time yielding to the work of God's Spirit. Can I ask you a question? Is that revival going to start with you today? You can't wait for somebody else to get onto this. It's got to start with you. So, where are we at in all this? Three things I want to leave you with here today. This is my point, and I do have one, believe it or not. How do you stay alive spiritually? How do you make sure that you're not part of the frozen chosen? Number one, let Jesus reveal himself to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay cross-centered. Come back and contemplate the grace that God showed you in Christ Jesus. Man, you want a homework assignment? Read Isaiah 53 every day this week. Before your day gets going. 700 years before Jesus was crucified, this amazing prophetic picture of his sufferings for us. Focus in on the person of Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's here to do, by the way. In John 16 and verse 14, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify me when he comes. Secondly, let the Holy Spirit relate God's love not only to us, but through us in our lives. Don't become a spiritual sponge. Be a Christian conduit. Receive good things from God for sure, But don't be satisfied with that until you can share and encourage someone just as God encouraged you. And finally, let the Holy Spirit release God's power into your life. Don't be afraid of the power of God. The age of miracles, gang, has not ceased. If you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, if you understood the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? You are a walking miracle. Because unless God intervened in your life, you wouldn't understand it at all. The fact that you prayed and invited Christ in your life is the first miracle, but it ain't the last. And guess what? If you need a miracle in your life, you've got it. If it's just the miracle of walking hand in hand one more day with Jesus Christ, man, that's a miracle in and of itself. You know, Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow those who believe. You know, I don't go chasing after signs and wonders and miracles, but boy, I've sure seen a few in my wake. Because God's moving. God's going to do that. And if I need a miracle, I've got one. I guess the bottom line is this. You know, if you don't want to be another strong argument for not receiving Jesus as your Savior, you know, be the opposite. Be a person that has a genuine, overflowing love relationship with God. Oh, I love what Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says. This should be our vision statement for our lives, our vision statement as a church, our vision statement for what we want to see as reality on a day-by-day basis. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Father, we come to you this morning, and how thankful we are that what we're talking about here isn't belonging to a church because we agree with what they say, like some people are Republicans or Democrats. What we're not talking about here is just a place where we go because we relate to certain people, or we kind of like the vibe or the music or the atmosphere, or, you know, the pastor tells a few good jokes or not so good jokes as the case may be. God, what we want is the real deal. And it's got to start with each of our individual hearts. And so, Lord, I, for one, want to receive again anew and afresh that filling of your Spirit. I ask for it, Lord. And I pray that each and every person within the sound of my voice, right now in this holy moment, would simply say to you, Lord, I don't want to do things for you. Forgive me for my faith becoming intellectual instead of intimate, for it becoming legalistic instead of love-based. For becoming what I do for you instead of what you've done for me. I turn from that. The world will suck me into that so quick it'll make my head spin, Lord. My pride will say, yeah, that's what you need to do. But God, I turn from that. And I ask you to make me a walking miracle, a poster child of your reality in my life. Do in me and through me more than I could have ever dreamed or even dared to ask. Make me into the image of your Son, through the power of your Spirit, to your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus.
program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.